The Heat Doctor on Kerry Today. Brought to you in association with Boyles of Killorglan, the home of quality.
Yes, indeed. Just some breaking news to bring you. First of all, before we talk about heat-related questions, the Minister for Housing, Dara O'Brien, has just announced an increase in the housing assistance payment discretion rate of up to 35% from next month. This means local authorities can now pay up to 35% more than the current set HAP rates, which differs between the local authorities. This will apply to new HAP tenancies from next month, and he says this would secure and expand more tenancies and prevent new entries into homelessness. So that's a pretty major policy decision there made for the over 60,000 people across the country in receipt of HAP. Okay, on to David O'Sullivan, DC Energy Solutions. David, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Jerry, and good morning, listeners.
Now, we have a listener that got in touch with us, and lots of people getting in touch and queries coming in. Heating Doc, 11 years ago, caller insisted a new geothermal heat system in his new built home. He was told it would have a lifespan of 25 years. After 10, it was in need of repair. Took him a long time to find an engineer who would look at it, and when he did, he told him the unit was capped out and it will cost €10,000 to repair it. Caller says he spent €30,000 to install it, so he's decided to go back to oil heating and will be putting pipes in over the geo as he can't dig it all up again. When we are encouraging green energy, people also need to know the truth of these new systems when something goes wrong. Now, is this a widespread issue or is this a one-off unique situation, do you think? And I'm conscious you haven't seen the situation on the ground here.
Well, no, we haven't seen the situation, Jerry, but I suppose, first off, I sympathise with this homeowner if they've purchased something and we'll say the suppliers are not providing them with warranty backup or indeed with engineers that can carry out maintenance work or indeed replace parts of the unit. But I'm going to tackle this in a couple of different ways, if that's okay. I'm going to say to that homeowner, back to oil heating, stop. Let's not move backwards here. There's ways of moving forward where this homeowner will get satisfaction and get what they need, but ultimately, I suppose, what they paid for. There's grants of €6,500 for installing heat pumps on houses built pre-21. So this homeowner is entitled to a grant of €6,500 to start off with. That's their starting point with staying with either a ground source heat pump or an air-to-water heat pump. Now, for this homeowner, I mean, we would be delighted to, and this is not us advertising, but just, I suppose, again, to provide a service to this homeowner, happy to send an engineer, survey what's there, and come up with a solution that will also tie in that grant payment, but ultimately keep this homeowner on the track that they decided to go on 11 years ago, which was the renewable track, and stay that way.
Yeah.
And I guess, Jerry, it may not be a one-off, and there may be other listeners that are tuning in and have problems with heat pumps and things like that. But I suppose, look, all I can encourage here is maintenance is key. We don't sell these and we don't push to install them and we don't get a grant for installing them and walk away. We can't do that. It's not just something that will not require maintenance. It's not something that won't require upkeep. And there's manuals that should be handed over at the time of install as part of the works. And homeowners do have obligations in order to make sure the units are working correctly. But I suppose here as well, not knowing what unit is installed, €10,000 to repair it, it doesn't sound extraordinary. It sounds like a replacement unit would be more beneficial in my view. And I suppose that's what I'd like to help this homeowner with. So please, if they wanted to contact me privately, I'm happy to help. And we can come up with a solution on this. But again, Jerry, like you said, is it a one-off? I don't think it is. We install Mitsubishi heat pumps. We're registered to install Mitsubishi heat pumps. And I guess using reputable brands, in my view, whilst you may pay more at the start, that 25-year lifespan that was spoken of may be something that can be achieved while upkeeping and maintaining the product.
Yeah, and that's a key thing to think about. So assess it, think twice about going back to oil and look at the options there. Okay, David, a listener says, next time Heat Doctor's on, can he please talk about external wall insulation?
Well, I think a lot of people will say, Jerry, when do I stop talking? But I'm happy to talk about it. I suppose, yes, external wall insulation. First off, let's talk about grants. For an apartment, there's €3,000 of a grant. For a detached house, there's €8,000. And in between, mid-terrace, semi-detached, 3,500 and 6,000. External wall insulation, I think you and I have spoken about it several times, Jerry, but I suppose let's start from the start here. Assessing the house suitability, what type of walls they are, and what type of insulation is best suited. If it's determined that external wall insulation, which in my view is the best solution, is the solution for the house, then it's how it's applied to the house and applied according to the manufacturer's description. Also, I suppose, complying with the grants. But external insulation is a product that's like panels stuck onto the outside of the house. It is fixed on mechanically. It is plastered with base coat and it is top coated with an acrylic coat with a colour of your choice. Our providers in List All Ray Term, we have an array of colours, which is always a question we get. Can I have pink, blue, yellow? You can have any colour you want. It's not like the old Ford once it's a particular colour, but you can have any colour you want. And I suppose there's base colours which people choose that are very, I suppose, they're friendly, environmentally friendly, but also friendly for the homeowner in regards to maintenance. They're easy to maintain, so that's something to think about. But I guess here as well, Jerry, look, there's different wall types in our county, in our country, from mass concrete, old style, cavity, cavity block, block and flat, stone houses. There's so many different types of makeup that it's very important to assess the house first off. I mean, if there's a scaffolding requirement, I know Rory and Mine and Scaff would be delighted to hear that, but there's things you need to think about at this stage when you're talking about external insulation to get you the finished product.
So does it solve all your issues, like depending on what kind of wall you have inside, if you're having issues with cold air breaks or different things or loss of heat, tackling it watered in internally, tackling it on the outside, can that solve the problems?
It definitely can, and I suppose that's what I was going to finish up with, is if you think about decoration. So if you think about the inside of your house, Jerry, and I told you that I was coming in to dry line the inside of your house, whilst dry lining is applicable in some situations and only, external wall insulation is applicable in most situations and is easier to, I suppose, less interference with the home. So if I told you to take all the paintings off the wall, take the skirting off the wall, we'd to redo your window boards, you'd have to paint after we finish, electricians are involved, plumbers are involved. We're getting into that whole house evaluation, which I always talk about, which is, I suppose, if you're doing the external insulation, should we be considering other works to the house?
Yeah.
So with dry lining, I suppose there's that element to it. With pumping the walls, it's a great way of insulating houses. And I mean, there's grants available for pumping the walls of up to €1,700, which is a great financial help towards doing this work. But I suppose ultimately here, Jerry, if external insulation is what's chosen, as far as I'm concerned, it is the best solution once applied properly. Is it going to solve all your problems? Just remember, always said, insulation, ventilation. If you don't ventilate the house correctly when installing external wall insulation, you're going to end up with those problems you mentioned. Yeah. You're going to be in big trouble and you're going to have issues with dampness. Sorry, not with dampness, but with condensation within the house, not being able to get out. You ultimately have a warmer house here, Jerry. But I suppose one thing to be careful of here, and I think you and I mentioned it a couple of times, is Part L compliance. So if you go onto the SEA website, any homeowners, have a look on there. There's a very helpful bar across the top of the page. You'll find wall grants. Scroll down to the page. There's a couple of things to look at before you apply, and Part L requirement is one of them. Now, Part L is a document, 300 and something pages. There's no point going into all that, but it basically means that if you're upgrading the fabric of your home and reducing your heat loss and things, then you need to be compliant. Ventilation, as I said, you need to achieve a minimum of a B2 R, and I'm going to say R. Your heating system and attic insulation needs to comply with the current building regulation standards.
Right.
That's one of the key ones, Jerry, in a lot of people that we're talking to at the moment that only want to do external wall insulation and I suppose ultimately can't afford to do other works or don't want to do other works maybe because they've already done them. But your attic insulation and your heating system must have a minimum of control on the heating and the current regulation on attic insulation. Now, if your attic is not insulated, as I said, there's a grant available for that as well of up to €1,500. So, I mean, there's great financial help towards doing the complete package. So if you're starting at your footpath, going all the way across your ceiling, you've now created an insulated envelope for your building and have ultimately got the best building as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and lower energy bills as a result. Okay, we're going to talk more about this and other things. More queries coming in to us for David. We'll get to more on the Heat Doctor after we take these.
The Heat Doctor on Kerry Today, brought to you in association with Boyles of Killorglin, the home of quality.
Yeah, David O'Sullivan with us on the line. David, two more questions. I have a convector electric heating system. So many heaters need to be replaced. What would be the best type to use? Asks Brondon.
Good morning, Brondon. So, electric heating. I guess I can't keep repeating myself about maybe we should assess changing away from the electric heating, but again, it's what's in place, and I suppose installing the new type is fantastic. Look, your electrician is going to have to decide which is best suitable in regards to what size heater goes into each room. It's not a case of pick a heater off the shelf, fit it on the wall and away you go. There should be a calculation done as to what the heat requirement is for the rooms. So I suppose in Barndon's situation, it would be key to do that. And I suppose also here, there needs to be a calculation done so that the maximum supply coming into the house is not exceeded by putting in oversized heating.
Yeah, the right size radiator for the right size area, the right size room, and then obviously the efficiency of the modern heaters versus the ones that he has in place.
Yes, absolutely. And look, there's some fantastic models out there in the market. I suppose here when we talk about storage heating, we don't really have a lot of control over it. It's working on a nighttime tariff. It's an input of electricity at nighttime to give you an output of heat throughout the day. A lot of these units have double heaters on them, which is, again, a convector heater on the front, which can be controlled at any time. Some of the very smart modern heaters even have Wi-Fi capability and apps with them, which allow you to have fantastic control through your phone and things like that. And I think control is key, Jerry. I suppose, look, if you are heating a space when it's not being used, well, I suppose it's advised to keep it at a minimum temperature, but there's no point having an excess of heat in an area where you're not there at home to, I suppose, benefit from that heat. But again, I suppose the envelope of the building, to answer the first person's question, or sorry, the second question about external insulation, any type of insulation, if the house is insulated correctly, then your heating system is going to work more efficiently, no matter what type of heating system it is.
Okay, so that's a key to get advice on that. A lady says she's an open fire with a back boiler in the sitting room. She also has oil heating. If she disconnects the boiler, can she still light a fire? She wants to disconnect as the pipes are not good. Is that the safe thing to do? She is very worried about it.
My direct answer to this is no. And I know that this is something that may have happened, can happen, is done, is not done, but no. A particular stove, if it is a stove with a back boiler or used as a stove with a back boiler, then it is not safe to disconnect the back boiler element of that and use it as a stove only. The stove should be replaced for a room heater stove only. And I suppose in that situation, again, Jerry, just to mention health and safety, ventilation within the room.
Yeah.
Again, you know, carbon monoxide alarm, smoke alarm, it's just key in these elements.
Yeah, but proper professional advice needed here, David, in this one.
Definitely. Look, talking to the supplier is going to give you that answer. And I mean, look, in Boyles are happy to help in that situation. I know there's great experience behind the counter there in Padraig, and he would, again, give you his best advice. But I suppose something that you could bring with you when talking about this is the size of the room. You know, what size is the room the stove is going into? It's hard for him to see this when he's not going to be in your house. But I suppose ultimately here, bringing as much information as you have will get you close to what you need to install. And again here, look, Jerry, I can't say that enough. Health and safety, smoke alarm, carbon monoxide
very
alarm,
important.
And a room vent or wall vent in some way. Yeah.
Sure. Do you need hot water in your cylinder, listener asks, when you're using a washing machine? The listener has been turning on his immersion to heat the water before he turns on his washing machine. Now, I would have assumed that most washing machines, depending how old it is, would have an element in it to heat the water as it goes in. Have you heard of this, or what's the situation?
I again, a long time ago, Jerry, I suppose there was a situation where some washing machines did need a hot and cold feed, but no. 99%, and I'll say 99% because I'm not 100, of all washing machines only require a cold feed, and they have their own built-in heater in them which heats the water. And I suppose, look, that's key here is that, again, if you're turning on your immersion and not using the hot water, once the immersion have built-in thermostats to turn the water off when it reaches temperature, there's a question of only using it when you need it, that a timer might be helpful for that home.
He needs an examination of his washing machine as to why it isn't heating the water, or a replacement possibly. New doors and windows.
It could be an issue like that.
Yeah, it could be. New doors and windows installed 3 years ago. The two door handles on the outside are both corroding. The lady says she was told by the manufacturer there was only a 1 year guarantee on the handles. Has the heat doctor ever come across this previously?
We've come across several issues on windows and doors previously. And again, location and I suppose how close that homeowner is to salt water, or indeed if there's a lot of water hitting those handles and there's corrosion. If it's a manufacturer's problem and they're getting no joy with the installers or manufacturers, I suppose all I can say in that right is they should consider just replacing them themselves. There is companies out there that will do that for them. But again, we have come across that, but very rarely. It would be something, if it's only 3 years ago, it would be something I would push with the manufacturer and possibly request the documentation from the original install as to how long the official warranty and guarantee was.
Sure.
But I know there's companies that we work with, Jerry, and I know for a fact that they will be glad to replace that for them if that homeowner used one of those companies.
Yeah. Okay, listen, David, we're out of time. We'll get to more queries next time you're on with us. Thanks a million for all the answers you gave us this morning. It's David O'Sullivan of DC Energy Solutions with us on the line. We're out of time on the programme. Stay tuned. Francis Jones is on the way with the 11 to 1 Club. Have a great and a safe weekend. We'll talk to you on Tuesday morning with Kerry Today when it's back on air after the bank holiday Monday.